You've got the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Eliza Latta is a 21-year-old writer, storyteller, artist, and hand letterer. She writes on her blog at elizanaomi.com and creates hand-lettered prints for her online shop at Etsy.com/shop/choosebrave. She's a huge fan of both courage and ice cream. Follow her as at Eliza Latta on Twitter and Instagram. So welcome to the podcast, Eliza.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Why don't you get started? This is like the big broad question we ask everybody that they all hate answering, but tell us a little bit about where you're at now and how you got here.
Yeah, terrible question. I'm just kidding. Where I am right now. Well, like you said, I'm 21. I'll be 22 soon, so I don't know if I should say that, but whatever. So I guess I'm still pretty young, and I'm Canadian. I guess I should say that. I'm Canadian, and I'm in Ontario, and it's actually freezing here still in May. It isn't normally freezing, but it's freezing today, which makes me really, really sad.
We would believe that because we're in Minnesota and Wisconsin, okay, so we've had those
you
Mays.
You get that. But like you said, I'm a writer and an artist, but I would be the definition of a starving artist. So I'm still working like a minimum wage job, and I'm actually working at a little consignment shop, and it's really, really fun. And I do that on the side, and then I write on my blog, and then I write some fiction and stuff like that on the side, and then I do my artwork. So I have an Etsy shop, and a week and a half ago, I had my first art show, which was just the most fun thing ever. So that's kind of what I'm up to on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's awesome that you've just sort of made time for your creativity, even with all that other stuff going on, and like making time for an art show. That's got to be such a huge undertaking, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. And it's like, that's the exact thing. You have to make time for it, right? Just to put time into your craft. And it helps when you love it, though, because then it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like so much fun.
That is 100% true. I know I will stay up late writing or scheduling out social media for my own blog. But as soon as you have me like sit down at my desk at my day job, I'm like, nope, this isn't fun anymore. And it's doing the same things. It's just not for my own projects. So it's not, you know, what I love or what I'm passionate about necessarily.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that.
So like you said, you are still pretty young. So how did you first start your blog and how have you seen it grow since then? Because reading your writing, it's like, oh my gosh, she's only 21. Like I'm so old compared to her and her writing is so good.
Oh, well, that is very, very kind. Thank you. It's kind of funny. I didn't intentionally really start out to be a blogger at all. I still think I'm a terrible blogger. I just am so irregular. It's not easy for me to like, I have to really force myself to try and write once a week. And even then, that does not often happen. But I started my blog when I went to Africa, when I was 18 years old. I had graduated from high school, and I just had always wanted to go to Africa. And so I went to Rwanda for 2 months, and I just started a blog, honestly, to keep my parents in the loop that I was doing okay, and I really, really liked it. I loved telling stories, and I loved writing down the things that I learned. And so when I got home, I wasn't going to continue it. But then a couple people said, oh, are you going to keep blogging? And I was like, I guess so. Like, if someone's going to read it, I guess I'll keep blogging. And so, yeah, so that was in 2013. And so it's been about 3 years now. And I just, I don't even have like a niche, I would say. My blog is so just really whatever I'm feeling and whatever I'm learning. Oftentimes it's just like, this is what I am struggling with. This is what I'm feeling right now. This is my therapy. So I'm just going to share it on the internet. And that's what it's been for like 3 years. So.
Yeah, I think everyone who blogs at some point has thought that it's more for them than it ever was for their audience. I know a lot of the times that's where I like work out the things that are going on in my life in a way, I mean, that kind of just like makes you process things. I think that's what blogging totally is a lot of the time for a lot of people. So you're not alone in not having a, you know, a perfectly hammered out niche or like one topic that you blog about all the time. Cause it's hard. It's hard to boil down your entire life into like one single subject. I don't think that's possible.
No, it is hard. And I thought about that a lot, especially when I was like trying to take it more seriously. And I thought, oh, like the successful blogs that I see seem to kind of have that boiled down tagline. But then I thought, I'm like 20. At that point, I was like 20 years old. And I don't know what my tagline mm-hmm. would be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if, well, we're all, just because I'm young doesn't, and I'm not saying that you guys are old by any means. I hope it doesn't come across like that.
Not at all, no.
Oh, good, good. Phew. But do you know what I mean? Like, we're just always consistently learning and growing and striving for different things. So I wanted that blog to just kind of be a representation of that too. So I kind of also chose not to make a niche because I change my mind all the time. So it wouldn't work out for me.
Yeah, in that situation, it does seem pretty smart to leave it open and not put yourself in that box when you're not sure, honestly, where, like, I mean, you don't even really know where your life is going to go at that point, truly. And so it's like, how you're supposed to pick a blog and be like, this is my blog for life.
Yeah, exactly. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm 29 this year. I'll be 29 in July. And I still don't know where my life is going to go. Like, every day I wake up and think something different, like, oh, I'd love to do that. Or, ooh, that sounds really cool. So I don't know if you ever quite arrive at that, like, this is who I am and I'm never going to change, which I think is kind of the fun part about life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So speaking of where you're at right now, Eliza, do you have trouble balancing that fun creative work that you do of hand lettering and drawing with the business side of things? Like you mentioned, you're also working a part-time job. And obviously, you know, life is full of laundry and all those fun things. But I know Ashley and I both as creative people, and we've also met a lot of other creatives who really struggle with balancing like the making of the art and the marketing of the art. Do you struggle with that at all?
Like 10,000,000%. Honestly, I am like the worst business person ever. It's brutal. It's really, really bad, actually. When I first started my little shop, I forgot to mail the things. Like, I actually forgot that was part of the process. People bought them, and I didn't mail them for a really long time. And I was like, oh, shoot. And people, like, were so kind and emailed me, and they were like, I was just wondering if you had sent my print yet, because it's been a month. And I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot that was what I was supposed to do. So I'm really learning that I have to, it's just a really difficult thing for me. And I'm realizing that not every aspect of this is something that's going to be fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's still, you know, you have to push yourself to do things that you don't always want to do. But that is a struggle for me. I've often said, I just need a business partner and I just don't ever want to respond to emails. Like, I probably didn't respond to your email for a while because I'm terrible at it. It's so bad. But I'm slowly, slowly learning that I have to get better.
Yeah, it is a struggle because I sometimes feel like as I'm getting better at the business side of things, I step back and I'm like, you aren't doing anything creative, or like not anything creative that's like, I don't know, like not anything that I would consider like really fulfilling creatively.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just so hard because it's like, as soon as you get, like, you feel like you're being creative, it seems like the business side goes down. It's like a teeter-totter. Like, you can't keep it balanced.
Yes, it's so hard to keep a balance. I haven't found the balance at all, especially this past month, because I was doing a lot of stuff for my art show. So a lot of it was, even though I was making canvases and things like that, but I was really like running an art show, right? So there were a lot of logistical things and details and stuff that I am not good at all. So then I found that the creative side, I was really missing that this month. And so it's funny because even this week, now that the show is finished, I was like, I just feel like a little dry and I feel like I need to kind of dip back into that creative well. So it's hard to try and find a balance for sure.
Yeah. And I know like some weeks I like have all these to-dos and I check them all off the list and I'm feeling really accomplished and on top of things. And then I look back and I'm like, but what did you really accomplish? You sent emails. You have nothing to show for those hours. So sometimes it can be like a hard struggle between like being the responsible, you know, businessy individual and also like creating things that you want to look back on and be like, yeah, I totally did that and it was awesome.
Absolutely. And emails, honestly, I just have to tell you, it's like my worst enemy. It's like this cycle where they respond to you. As soon as I email them, someone responds. And I'm like, but I just emailed you and now I have to reply. Yes. And I just find it so hard.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever used Boomerang for Gmail? Because it is the best for that.
I've never even heard of that. I'm also not good with technical stuff, so I'll have to look into that.
it's one of the like experimental labs, I think they call it, for Gmail. But if you turn it on, you can schedule emails to send later. So like you hit the send later button and tell it when to send. And then that person's obviously not going to be able to reply to you until they get the email. So you can have like an evening where you feel like you replied to emails, but no one can send you anything back.
That's amazing. No, I will definitely look into that.
I think there's also an app called like Inbox Pause or something, and it might also be for Gmail, but it's where you can like click pause on your inbox and none of your emails to yourself will be delivered until you unpause your email.
That's
so if
awesome.
You need to like take a weekend off, you can do that.
Oh, that's amazing.
That sounds like so perfect for like every entrepreneur out there who is like answering emails at night when they've already been working all day or something like that. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So even though the business side is kind of a struggle for all of us, it seems like you did decide to start selling some of your hand lettering on your Etsy shop. So how did you come to that decision to decide, you know, like I have this creative thing and I love doing it and I want to turn it into sort of a business venture and sell it to other people?
Well, I had started a few years ago, just from my house, I was doing hand lettering on pieces of wood and I was doing a lot of signs and stuff like that. And it was fine. It was a good like thing to dip my toe into, but I realized that I don't actually like doing it on wood. Like it wasn't fun for me. And I thought, I really want to do this on paper. And it would be so much easier to mail it if it was on paper. And so I started, that's why, because that was really the reason why, because I didn't want to do it on wood anymore. And so I did it through Big Cartel originally. And so just like in November, I switched it to Etsy. And I love Etsy. I love it so much. It's such a cool community on there. And yeah, that's why, because of the wood thing, really.
I was gonna say, that is perfect. I like, you say you're not very business minded, but thinking through that paper is easier to mail than wood products, like that's pretty business minded right there.
Well, thank you.
I imagine it costs a lot less to ship a piece of paper.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And storage. It's much easier.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't have thought about that. But I suppose like a stack of 100 pieces of paper is much, much smaller than a stack of like 100 8x10 pieces of barnwood.
It really is.
Yes.
See, look this at all this true. Business savvy.
I know. This is amazing.
So one thing that we end up talking with about people a lot is like, we always end up talking about our college majors and like how people either ended up doing exactly what they thought they would be doing or ended up doing something totally different than what they majored in college. And you're kind of unique in that you've written about on your blog about how you don't have a college degree and you don't have any plans to pursue one, which is kind of a countercultural decision these days. So what led you to that decision? And do you have any advice for other creatives who don't see college in their future, but are kind of afraid to go against what people expect them to do?
Yeah, it took a lot for me to kind of make that decision. Like I said, when I finished high school, I went to Africa. So I was already procrastinating that. I was like, well, I just need some time. and I knew I was a more creative person. Like I didn't feel like there was anything that was jumping out at me that was more of like an academic thing. And I knew I could maybe go to English or journalism or something along those lines, but none of it really like made me feel super passionate. And so I went to Africa and blah, blah, blah. I fell in love with writing there, et cetera, et cetera. It's a nice, sweet story. And then I came home and I was faced with the decision of, you know, should I go to school or not? And everybody was going to school. That was just a very normal thing. And I decided to take some more time to think about it. And so I worked and I was saving money to go to school. And in 2014, I decided that I was going to go to school for journalism. And the morning that I was going to sign up, my mom, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And so I stopped, obviously. I was like, well, I'm not doing this. I am just going to dedicate my year to my mom. And I am like a very like all in person. So like I was all in, you know what I mean? Like I was like, I can't do anything else. And honestly, like it was a real God thing that I didn't apply, because it was really cool for my mom and I to have that time together. That was honestly when I started to do a lot of artwork, because I needed to figure out some way to show her I cared. So I would often let her Bible verses and leave them in her bathroom or in the kitchen. And that was just like a way for me to be able to tell her that I loved her. Mm-hmm. And she's doing great. Actually, today she had a follow-up appointment and she is healthy. So
it was good.
I know, it's cool how this timing worked out. Anyway, so after that, I just decided that I really didn't want to go to school and that I had put it off because I didn't want to go. And I didn't want to go for a few reasons, because I wanted to write and I didn't feel like I needed an English degree or a journalism degree to do that, especially in the world we live in today with how the internet and blogging, I am able to write. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool, the mm-hmm. world that we live in and how accessible all of that is. Mm-hmm. And also, like a tiny part of me was like, I just need to show the world that I can, you know, be successful without a degree. And I don't know if people would consider me successful, because I'm, you know, I work at a consignment shop, but I'm really, really, really happy with the choices that I have made. And I don't regret not going to school at all. If anything, really, really cool doors and opportunities have been opened for me the past couple of years. And yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know if I would, like, I'm always hesitant to give people mm-hmm. advice about this, because I'm not against school in any way at all. Just for me, it wasn't the right decision. And I just don't think that a degree determines your success in the world. I think that's something that I've really learned and held on to, because for a long time I thought I need a degree in order to be enough, and I needed a degree in order to be successful. And I've just really learned that that's not what makes me who I am, you know, and that's not what makes me the type mm-hmm. of, you know what I mean? That doesn't determine like what the things I'm going to do mm-hmm. in my life. So anyway, I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I know a few episodes ago, Ashley and I were talking, and one of the questions we asked ourselves was, what do we consider to be a creative success? Because so often on the internet, it's when you get that, you know, super awesome job title, or when you make, you know, the elusive six figures with your online business. And we both kind of called bull on that.
It is.
We just, that is not the same like success metric for everyone. And we decided very, very different things for ourselves. I know Ashley wants to make a decent income while staying home with her children. And creative success to me just means finally being myself and letting myself write about topics that I've not let myself write about before.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think by just deciding that you were going to find success a different way than going to college is a perfectly acceptable life choice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, because my husband didn't go to college either, but he's like super creative in his field as well. So it's just, I know, it's something I like talking about because people always just assume like, oh, you have a degree or you're going to get a degree. And I'm like, not everybody.
Totally. Me too.
I know my husband doesn't have a college degree either. He did like a 9-month technical program. And I mean, absolutely loves his job, is very successful at it. And, you know, didn't come out of school with thousands of dollars in debt. And he's happy. And that to me is success.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And like, again, I have so many friends who are so happy with having gone to school. And then I have other people who wish that they didn't and regret that. And so I think that for me, I don't even know, like stigma might be too strong of a word. Mm-hmm. But I think like there is a little bit of something around the idea of not going to school. And I don't know, I was just kind of tired about how that was even a mentality, you know? I didn't like that. I was done with that. I still am done with that. And it's been happening for too long.
I almost feel like it's driven by fear. Like people are afraid that if they don't go to college, they won't get a good job or
absolutely.
That whatever other plans they have for themselves won't work out and they won't have a degree to ever fall back on. And it's like, you know, so many people have a degree now that it almost doesn't even make you stand out.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I do think that if you decide not to go to school, you need to be still like passionate and driven, because I didn't go to school, but I was still working towards something. I was still writing and I was doing artwork and I was trying, like I had goals and you know what I mean? And dreams. So I'm certainly not advocating, don't go to school and just do nothing all day, you know, like still
sit on your couch and never accomplish anything.
Right. No. Everyone had like, you have passions and desires. And I just encourage people to go do that. And whether that's through university or not, I don't think it matters.
That's a really good point to make. And there's also like nothing that says if 2 years from now you find a completely new passion and it involves a university degree, like you can still go to school. You don't have to go to school from ages 18 to 22 and never go back again.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. So something else that you've done that I would say is a little bit countercultural again is actually the first post that you wrote on your blog that I first found. This is how I found you and your blog. Was this post about how you were offered a book deal, which is like the dream of bloggers everywhere, and you turned it down. So walk us through that process. Yeah. Like, what was it like talking with the publisher and deciding that that book deal wasn't right for you?
It's so funny even hearing you say that. It always seems so weird. It's like, oh, I did do that. Yes, I did. It was I was so flattered, obviously, when they approached me. They approached me in October, and I was so flattered, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, randomly, it was like 4 a.m, and I was randomly in the Peru airport because I was going to Peru for a couple of weeks. And I was so tired, and I was reading this, and I was just like so hyper. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And so I was super happy, and I thought, for sure, like, oh yeah, for sure I'll do this. Like, this is the dream. Exactly. Like you said, I was like, I always wanted to publish a book. And so why wouldn't I do this? And so I talked with them over the next couple of months. And honestly, they were so, like, they're so awesome. They were so kind. And it just seemed really, really cool. But as the weeks went by, I just started getting a lot of anxiety. And I'm not generally an anxious person, but it was just causing me so much anxiety. And I was trying to figure out, like, why do I feel this way? And I'm often trying to figure out why I feel certain things. So, you know, I try to ask myself questions and figure out, like, what is going on inside of me? And why am I feeling this way? And I really, really, really didn't want to sign up for something and then feel caught, you know, and then not be able to back out or whatever. So,
or have a stomach ache for the next, you know, 18 absolutely. Months because you're so
right. And when you write a book, like, I mean, I haven't ever had a book published, but I think that the idea of it is that you have to love that book for a really long mm-hmm. time. Like you really have to be with it for a while. So I knew this was going to be a commitment, and the thing is that I love the topic. I loved, honestly, everything about it. But for some reason, I just felt like this isn't right for me right at this moment. And when I started to really dive into my feelings, I realized that the only reason why I would accept this book deal at that time was so that I could say that I accepted a book deal and that I could be a 21-year-old no degree girl who had a published book. And I was so excited about that because it felt like this tangible thing that showed my worth, really, is what it came down to, is that I could say to people, oh, I'm a published author. Aren't I worth so much? Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I just thought that's not a good enough reason. That is not a good enough reason to write a book. And so ultimately I had to decide, you know what, until I can get to the point where I know that I'm like who I am without anything is worth just as much as who I am with 25 published books. I can't accept that. And I have to tell you, there have been a lot of days where I've thought, did I make the biggest mistake ever? And some days I think, I really, really did. But you know what? For the most part, I'm really, really, really pleased that I chose to do that. But it was very difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And I don't think there's any big decision like that that we ever make that we don't at least think back on from time to time and wonder or question ourselves. Like, was this the mm-hmm. exact right decision for me? But I loved what Kenzie said in our very first interview for Chasing Creative. And she said that, you know, you can deliberate over things and try to weigh all of your options and that, but eventually you will take the next right mm-hmm. step. And maybe it's not the perfect step, but it's the next step. And then eventually you take the mm-hmm. next right step. And it's your life and it's a very unique story. You know, only you can live it and only you can tell it. So obviously that was the next right step for you at that time. And maybe the next right step is accepting a book deal someday.
Right, exactly. And honestly, for right now, where I am in my life, I am far more in love with writing fiction than nonfiction. So that was also a big factor too, because I thought, I think I can maybe write a nonfiction book. Like, I think I can force myself to do that. But will I love it every mm-hmm. single day? I don't know if at this point in my life I would. Whereas fiction, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just love this so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we were just talking about before, where it's all tied up in how do you define success for yourself? Because so many people would define success mm-hmm. as, oh, I've got a book deal. I've made it, you know, and it would feel sort of hollow, I think, if it didn't feel right to you and you did it anyway, because you were trying to go after success as somebody else defines it instead of how you define it. And that's just never going to feel right, even if it looks good on the outside.
That, exactly. Exactly. And I am such a deep feeler that if I had made that decision, I'm talking about this makes me realize how very grateful I am. The choice that I made.
mm-hmm. So even though you did turn down a book deal, you tend to have a lot of creative projects going on all the time. So how do you find a balance, if you have found a balance yet, between blogging and creating art and then any other personal projects like writing fiction or even just hanging out with friends? I know sometimes that's a struggle we have too. I have a Saturday afternoon free. Do I go spend it with somebody or do I hole up in my room and write?
Yeah. I don't have a balance, to be honest. No, I don't. I'm learning every day. I'm learning. I wrote a fiction manuscript, last year. So I have that. So pretty much last year I didn't make that much art. I didn't really carve out that much time because every single day I said, my job is to write this manuscript. So I didn't really balance art at all. I just felt like I was going to write. This year, it's been way more art focused. I have done so much art and I feel like I haven't really been able to do as much writing. So it really depends on the season in my life, I think. For blogging, I just feel like I'm terrible. And I just, like, last night I said to myself, you are not going to bed until you write a blog post because you haven't written in a long time. So I want, like, my goals are always to obviously be a more intentional blogger. So I'm trying. But blogging I find hard, to be honest. Art I don't. Like, art is just another extension, I think, of what I'm feeling. So it's very therapeutic for me. So that just comes, I think, during the week I more so focus on art and writing and then my job. And then the weekends would be more like I would go hang out with my friends, or I have a nephew who I am in love with. So I will go be with my nephew and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think if there's anything that we are learning from this conversation is that there is no balance anywhere in life.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of give and take and a lot of different seasons, and you sort of just have to go with it and, like, mm-hmm. do whatever is in front of you at the moment.
That's right. And to really, really give yourself grace when you don't quite make that goal that you might have. That's what I'm learning, mm-hmm. you know. I'll give myself a goal and I just won't quite reach it. And I'll think, okay, well, it's okay. I will try again tomorrow, yeah. you know?
Yeah. Well, and even you just recognizing too, like, last year I didn't do a lot of art, but this year it's been all art. Like, that is a sort of balance. Like, you know, last year was for writing, this year is for drawing mm-hmm. and painting. And like you said, different seasons of life are going to look differently. And the feelings that you have are going to, you know, manifest themselves in different ways. And for you right now, it's with a paintbrush. And that's perfect.
That's true.
So in addition to, like, all those things that you're doing, you know, the writing and the drawing and blogging and everything else, you have mentioned a little bit about this already, but you make a lot of time to travel. So you've been to Rwanda, Uganda, Mexico, Peru, and a lot of people would look at that and be like, oh, that's awesome, but I don't have time to do that, or I don't have the money to do that. So could you speak to that a little bit? Like, how do you make space for travel like that in your life?
Yeah. I do that. I make space. People have said that to me. They're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I seriously just make it happen. Like, if you want it to happen, you have to make it happen. Because I think that I can say I want this to happen, but it's not going to happen unless, like, someone magically hands it to me on a silver platter, which has never happened to me and I don't think will happen to me. So traveling is just something I love. I really love doing it. I specifically have such a heart for Africa. And I find that I meet really cool people overseas, which gives you a lot of cool stories to tell people, which is good blogging content, you know? So it's just, the whole thing is full circle, right? For my first trip to Rwanda, that's been my longest one. That was 2 months. That was fully funded because I raise the money for that. So people were unbelievably kind and generous to me. And I was able to go without paying for any of it myself. But the other trips I paid for, and I worked, I saved, and I went. And it's really nothing
that's
special.
That's the magic formula.
That's what I did.
Is work hard and save your money.
That is the magic formula. That's right. That's honestly, that's right. And right now I live with my parents, so it makes it a little easier. But it's so, so worth it. I don't regret any of those trips at all. And some people aren't, like, super travel oriented, and so they would rather spend their money on other things, and that's great for them. But for me, I just have this passion of meeting people and hearing their stories, and it's really cool. Even last month, my friend from Uganda, funny enough, she has an aunt in Boston. And so she came to Boston, and then uh-huh. Boston's a whole lot closer to me than Africa. So I went to Boston to meet her, and we had this weekend together, and it was just me and my Ugandan friend, and it was so cool. So, yeah, I don't know. It's been really cool to see how I've even been able to keep up some of those relationships from being overseas.
So have any of these trips affected, I know they've definitely affected your writing. I mean, they're kind of the reason that you started writing in the first place, mm-hmm. but have they affected your drawing or painting or the way that you present your art to the world?
Yeah, I think so. I think they made me feel more intentional about my artwork. For a while, I just thought, oh, if I can like make something pretty and put it on Instagram and get some likes. To be honest, that was my mindset. But a lot of, you know, you see people and you hear their stories, and that gets kind of entangled within you, and it's really hard to get that out. And so the people have affected me so deeply that I think that that has made me more intentional with the wording that I use in my artwork, because I'm a hand letterer, so I mostly do quotes and verses and things like that. The trips just made me realize how I want to be intentional, and I want everything that I do to not be for marketing or not be for, I want this piece to sell. I'm really bad at that. I'm so bad at finding things that will sell. I would way rather write something that, like, this spoke to me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of something on Pinterest. I love and hate Pinterest. It's a real love-hate relationship there. But I just want the things that I do to, I don't know, maybe hopefully make someone think differently than how they thought before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a great perspective to have. And you are not alone in your love-hate relationship with Pinterest. Like, we have talked to so many people who are like, well, it's great, but also I wish it didn't exist.
Yes, 100%.
That's the perfect way to describe most social media platforms, I think. Love Absolutely. And also despise them. So besides travel, where else do you find inspiration for your art?
Oh, that's a very good question. I hope this doesn't sound like hipster, because I am not a hipster, let me tell you. But I love poetry. I love poetry. And when I read people's poems, I can, like, honestly see them in my mind, like how they would look on canvas. I'm just like, oh, that would be so beautiful. Or I have my this friend who's a songwriter, and every time I hear his song, I just think, oh, I just want to put that on a canvas. Like, I don't know, just certain things that I'll hear, I'll just, like, see it in my head, and I like honestly crave, like, I just, like, feel like I just need to go home and I just need to paint this. Or I'll, like, wake up one day and I'll just, like, I guess crave is the only word I can really think of, like, because I just long to put that on, and I can't, like, do anything until I release that from my fingertips, to be honest.
That sounds like an awesome problem to have, like, that connection between poetry, which is, poetry is really probably, like, the most visual type of writing that there is, too, with, like, all the imagery and things that go into poems. So that definitely seems like a good place for you to be finding inspiration there. So do you have any current creative goals or plans for the future that you're looking forward to right now? Or are you kind of just taking everything as it comes and going with the flow there?
Yes and no.
Acceptable answer.
I feel like that's all of my answers always. It's like, well, sort of yes, sort of kind of no. But I really would love to publish a novel. I want to do that so badly. And so I'm kind of in the process of doing that right now, but sort of just seeing where that goes. Art-wise, I don't really have too much idea of where that's headed right now. Like I mentioned before, I had my first art show, which was honestly so cool. And I didn't even think that would ever happen. So I have no idea where the artwork is going, because I never went in with the mindset of it going anywhere. So the fact that things have happened is beyond my my mind. So it's, yeah, the art, I just kind of just sit and do it and see what happens. Writing, I'm a little bit more, I have more goals and ideas of where I'd like that to be headed, but who knows? Who knows?
I think a lot of us can say that. And I'm going to throw another question in here that was not in the outline. So feel free to not answer it if you don't want to, but I promise it's nothing like scandalous. Where do you create your art? You said you live at home. Do you have a studio or a special space that you go that kind of, like, allows you to transition from everyday life to creative life?
Yeah, it's my nook, my little nook. It's like a little, like, cutout in my bedroom wall that, like, goes out, sort of. That doesn't really make sense. Think about it if you were to put, like, a window seat somewhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That type of idea. Except it's my desk, and I have a couple of maps on the wall, and that's, like, my little space, and it's all white. Everything's white, and it feels like just as, like, blank canvas. I love it so much, and a big window. So that, I definitely feel like myself transition when I'm in that space.
Yeah, that's always awesome when you can find that little place or ritual or whatever it is for you where you are like, okay, yes, now I can like be creative. Now I'm in like my creative home. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't have room for that, or I don't have anywhere to do that. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. there's always like something you can do, whether it's like a candle that you light every time mm-hmm. or like there's just always something you can do to make a space your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Candles are good. I love candles.
Me too.
I think that's all the questions we have for you. So does this mean we get to stop and talk about books now?
I think so. Oh, yes.
Awesome. So at the end of most of our episodes, I can say words in order. I really can. We do a really short book club where we tend to share books that we're reading lately or even books that have really inspired us as creatives. And since Ashley and I are in every episode, everyone has already heard all of the books we like to talk about. So we're hoping, Eliza, that you have a couple that we've not talked about before. Books that inspired you?
My favorite book in the entire world, and I don't know if you've read this one, because not that many people have, and I'm not actually super into Christian fiction, but this one is my favorite. It's called The Passion of Mary Margaret by Lisa Sampson. If you haven't read it, you should read it, because it changed my perspective on writing specifically. I loved the way she wrote in that book, and then it changed my view on Jesus. So it was so, so good. Have you heard of that one?
I have not, but it sounds very intriguing. You're giving a wonderful review.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's also about a nun, and for some reason, I love nuns. I really do, which I know it's so weird, but I just like them a lot. Hey, you like what you like. That's right. But most people haven't heard about that one. But my other favorite is The Glass Castle by Jeanette Wall.
Yes,
have you heard of that one?
That is a good one.
Good. See, the pressure. Phew, I'm making it.
Yeah. Have you read her other book, Half Broke Horses?
Yes, and The Silver Star. I love her books so much.
Half Broke Horses is one of my absolute favorite books of all time. It's just so perfectly comedic, but at the same time serious. Like, she balances
it
so
well. And they're making The Glass Castle into a movie. I read the other day.
Oh, are they?
I heard that. I hope it's good. I really hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope they don't wreck it. That would be sad.
I know. It would be very sad.
So I've only read The Glass Castle by her. So are her other two books that you guys mentioned also memoirs?
I think Half Broke Horses is, a story of her grandmother.
Yes, I call it like a novelized memoir or a memoir. Did I say the wrong word? A fictionalized memoir. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
So she takes like her grandmother's real life story, but writes it in the first person perspective.
Oh, so cool.
And
it's so cool.
Just really well done. And her grandma was like this amazing person. She was born in West Texas and took herself to Chicago on a train to be a school teacher and got married and found out that the guy was already married to someone else. And just like this amazingly awesome pioneer woman at like the turn of the 19th century. So
yeah, it's awesome. And then The Silver Star is a novel.
Okay.
It's fiction. Okay. And it's very, very good. It's about two sisters, and it kind of has similar themes from Glass Castle, because the mother is kind of like that loose, like she kind of leaves them, and mm-hmm. the girls are kind of having to figure out life on their own. But it is so good.
Now I'm going to have to check both of those out, because I really loved her writing in The Glass Castle, mm-hmm. and I just...
She's a great writer.
I must have like not bothered to check into it at all, because I didn't even know she had other books. So
yeah. I think it's just the three. I don't know for sure.
And also, like, Glass Castle is kind of depressing. Like, if you read
heavy book,
if you read that book and you're like, I need something light and fluffy, you might need something light and fluffy for like 6 more months.
Yeah.
I know. But for some reason, I just love depressing books. It's terrible.
Yes,
but I really do.
Finally, I have found my people.
Yes. Ashley also likes books that don't end too happily. So
yeah, me too. That's so funny. Have you read the book Room?
I haven't, no.
Oh my goodness, because that one was just a movie, and I always try to read the book before I see the movie. And it was a great movie too. They actually did a really good job with that one. So you should read Room. It's from the perspective of a 5-year-old boy, and his mom was, this also sounds terribly depressing, mm-hmm. but it's really good. But his mom has, when she was 17 years old, she was taken and she was kidnapped and kept in a garden shed. And then she had her son and he grew up thinking that the whole world was just in that room. It's very, very good.
Interesting. That mm-hmm. does sound depressing, like right up my alley.
Perfect. You'll, there you go.
Oh, goodness. That's perfect. So are you reading anything delightfully depressing now, Ashley?
Not really. No, I just started Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver. Okay. And she is one of my all-time favorite authors, even though she's got like all these books and I've only read two of them, but I still count her as like one of my all-time favorites. Because the first book of hers that I read was The Poisonwood Bible, mm-hmm. and I happened upon it in the library when I was like 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this book is amazing. And it's been one of my favorites ever since then. And so now I'm kind of like slowly working my way through her other books, mm-hmm. because I think I'm kind of afraid to like, I mean, they're heavier topics. They're yes. not totally depressing books, but she does deal with heavier topics. And I'm not super far into Prodigal Summer yet, but it's probably going to go the direction that her other books go, which is deep and, you know, into some not easy stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm looking
so
forward to
beautiful.
That. Yes. Yes. Writing is so good.
I've only read Poisonwood Bible, and I didn't pick it up until like last year. I finally read that one after hearing so many people say that I ought to. And I was like mesmerized. Her writing is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Abby? Have you been reading anything depressing lately? Since that's the theme of this hour.
The theme, the depressing theme. I don't think so. I've been reading nonfiction lately, and I don't know if nonfiction can be depressing in that
same way. I feel like it can. Except depressing nonfiction, it just means it's like not a good book.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say, I feel like you don't want to read depressing nonfiction.
Yeah. I don't think I would either. So I am reading Quiet, The Power of Introverts. It's taken me a long time to pick that one up. So I'm reading that. And then I'm also reading a book all about wine, like W-I-N-E, drinking wine, because I just randomly got a part-time job at a wine shop for funsies.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, cool.
Well, that'll be
That's
fun.
So fun.
What are you going to be doing there?
Like running a register and selling wine.
So
that's amazing.
So like you need to be able to talk to people about like, yeah, you might like
exactly.
this one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you enjoyed this, this is of the same varietal or whatever. I don't know the language yet. That's why I'm reading a book. I start tomorrow. So.
Oh, nice. Good luck. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's what I'm reading. So a lot of nonfiction, but interesting nonfiction.
Yeah, well, I hope that book and the job turn out to be good endeavors for you, because the extent of my wine knowledge is I like Moscato that costs like $3 when it's on sale at the liquor store. So,
oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's don't come to me
yeah,
for advice.
I know nothing either. I'm always yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, what's the cheapest one? What's the house wine?
Yeah. Yes,
I completely agree with that, and that's like one thing that I like. I grew up in a completely non-drinking family. And as an adult, like, I was like, okay, I can drink. It's not a big deal. But, like, I know nothing. So I, like, go into mm-hmm. the grocery store, and there's, like, 8,000 choices. And I was like, I don't know. That one looks good. So I'm hoping that this, like, ups my level of ability to choose wine for not only myself, but also, like, to take to book club or whatever. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, you're going to be like our personal, what do they call those wine people at restaurants? Sommeliers?
Yes.
Sommeliers? Yes. You're going to be like those people. And I'll just be like, I need to consult with my wine expert.
I have her on speed dial. No
yes.
big deal. There you go. Well, before we let you go, Eliza, I won't keep you on the line talking about wine anymore. can you let everyone know where to find you around on the internet in case they want to go look up your artwork?
Oh, for sure. So my blog is elizanaomi.com. Eliza is A-L-I-Z-A, or Z, I guess, if you're American. and then naomi.com. And then my artwork, little shop, is etsy.com/shop/choosebrave. So my shop is called Choose Brave. And then on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as Eliza Latta. And yeah, so you can come and hang out with me there if you want. No pressure.
Well, you're a delightful person, so I think everybody was probably going to go look you up right now.
You're very kind.
I agree. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes as well so that people can find you.
Awesome. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeps or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.